bad anyway.
Yeah. All right. This is June 23rd, 2009. And this is Charlene Hershey Simpson interviewing Paul Lofton. And first, Paul, could you just tell us a little something about what's going on with you today, what you're doing today?
I have recently retired. I taught for 30 years. I was professor of history at Spartanburg Methodist College. And then I had a wreck. A teenager ran into me. In fact, ran into the driver's side, and I was driving, which means he hit me. I was 3 months in the hospital, and it kind of forced me to retire. I was ready to get Social Security anyway, so I retired.
Okay. Now, let's just think back about before you went into the Peace Corps. How did you hear about Peace Corps?
I guess, how did I hear about it? In the newspaper, on the news? It was impossible not to hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So,
as soon as Kennedy announced it, I wrote off and got all the information, the application forms and things like that. So I applied soon after it was announced.
Okay.
In 61, I guess. Some of 61. 61.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, then, what made you decide at that time to join the Peace Corps?
It sounded like a great adventure. It was a chance to get away from school. I'd been in school for all these many years. It was a chance to go do something else, to have an adventure, to learn another language, that sort of thing.
Okay. So then, okay, we talked. Did you have a specific area or country where you wanted to go?
Not really. I remember that was one of the questions on the application form. I thought if I'm going to learn a language, I ought to learn a language that's a standard language, not some remote thing. So I said a Spanish-speaking country.
Okay, so you did say that.
Yes.
Okay.
As I remember.
Uh-huh. What did your family and your friends think about you going in the Peace Corps?
They were supported. My parents especially. They were a little leery of it at first, about going off to go for 2 years and be gone. But I think they were supported.
Okay. Now, what project were you invited to join?
I was invited to join the Heifer Project, Dairy Project in Cochabamba, Bolivia.
Okay. And how did you, when you were getting ready to go in the Peace Corps, did you do any special preparation before you left since you were going to be gone for a while?
Not really. I remember we had to take a test in those days. Don't have to do that anymore.
Uh-huh.
We had to take a Peace Corps test, and somewhere on there it said, what farm experience have you had? And I said, I can milk a cow. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I know about handling dairy cows. So I wrote about that. And sure enough, I was invited to join a dairy project group.
Okay, that's great. Okay. Tell me a little bit about what happened after you got your invitation. Did you go for training, or what happened?
Well, I got it in the spring sometime, spring of 62, and we went to training in June of 62, I think. We're there by the 4th of July, I know. I was in divinity school at Duke University at the time, and I got a leave of absence from there. I left with the idea of coming back, but I would be gone for 2 years. I don't think I did any other special training
mm-hmm.
that I remember.
Okay.
This was 45 years ago.
Yes. Now, What can you tell me about the training, for the Peace Corps training?
I thought the training was real good. It was a good experience. We learned about Bolivian history, Bolivian culture. We learned about Spanish. We also had a good refresher course in American history about communism. I remember that they talked about that. And American culture versus communism, that kind of thing. We also had a lot of first aid, I remember. All that was good training. I thought they purposely made the training experience as frustrating as they could, because the training period was also a selection process. They kind of wanted to see who could put up with all the frustration. And so that was kind of a challenge.
Yeah. So what else happened when you were in training there?
Well, we were at Arizona State University, on the campus of Arizona State. I had an aunt who lived in Tempe or Phoenix at the time. I went to see her one weekend. Somebody that I knew at Duke had a sister or something that lived in that area and insisted that I call them up and go see them while I was there, and I did that. Then we lived on the reservation, Maricopa Pima reservation, for half the training. Ira Hayes' mother was there. Ira Hayes was one of those Marines who put the flag up on Iwo Jima. And his mother was there. Somebody pointed her out to us. That was a good experience, living on the reservation with the Indian people.
What do you remember most about that experience out there, about the things you did?
We were living in a trailer. We had to fix our own food, fix our own meals, or at least once a day, which was part of the frustration, to see if we could get along doing that. I think of the six of us in the trailer, only two of us went, I think. The other four either selected themselves out or were selected not to go.
Wow. So was there anything about that training that surprised you?
I guess I was surprised at how frustrating it was. I thought it would be more encouraging, I suppose. But it was a challenge to see who could put up with all of that.
Okay. So after the training in Arizona, then what happened?
Then we went home for, I think, a week. And then we were all gathered in Miami. We were to go to Bolivia.
Wait, before we went to Miami, where did we go?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
We were in Miami, ready to go to Bolivia. We were eating supper, and Kennedy came on TV and said, "We are blockading Cuba. We may go to war any minute." And meanwhile, there was some trouble in La Paz, so they decided we could not go to La Paz at that time. They took us to Vermont, where they had a Peace Corps training house, and we stayed there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks in November before we went to Bolivia, for things kind of calmed down. So during the Cuban Missile Crisis, we went to Vermont.
Okay. What do you remember about that was Brattleboro, Vermont, wasn't it?
Brattleboro, Vermont. Uh-huh. That was a very nice experience. It was the fall of the year, the birch trees were changing, it was all very beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we knew we were not going to be selected out. We'd been selected, but that was a good time there.
Yeah. So what do you recall about, do you recall anything special about being in Vermont?
We sat around a lot, played bridge, read books. We tried to have some Spanish classes, and they took us all into Boston one weekend. I visited my cousin at Harvard, and he was surprised to see me. He thought I was in Bolivia, but yeah, I was in Boston. George Wright and I went together around to Harvard to see him.
Okay, so when you finally got to Bolivia, what were your impressions when you were first coming?
When we got to the airport, I left my camera on the airplane. And I ran back to get it, and I got all exhausted. I was sick the rest of the day because of the altitude. They have oxygen available in the airport at La Paz, 13,000 feet. And at that time, the airport was not paved. A lot of dust would come up when the plane landed. So I was kind of sick for the first few days in La Paz.
Altitude sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about what happened while you were in La Paz in the beginning.
I can't remember. We had lots of lectures. Mm-hmm. We met various people. I think we met the president, I guess the ambassador. I don't remember. It was cold. We were glad to get Cochabamba.
Mm-hmm.
Cochabamba was much nicer than La Paz. It was cold. You couldn't walk fast because of your altitude, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
So do you remember anything about the trip from La Paz to Cochabamba?
We were in a Jeep. There were about 10 or 12 Jeeps. We were all driving on the very narrow roads. The cars and trucks couldn't pass each other. They had to stop, and one would back up to get to a wide place in the road to let the other one go by. It took all day to get to La Paz, get to Cochabamba. We were glad to see green trees, grass growing at Cochabamba, which we did not see in La Paz.
That's true. Okay. When you first got there, what were your impressions of the local people and the Peace Corps staff and all that?
Well, for about a week, we lived in a hotel in downtown Cochabamba. We continued to have orientation. They drove us around the city and around the countryside. I was very impressed. It was so much better than La Paz. I liked it there.
Okay. Did you...
I discovered right away the Centro Boliviano Americano. That was a library, and we had books in English there. And right away I got some books.
Great. Can you talk about what you actually did down there?
I worked with the milk plant there. In all of Bolivia, they had one milk pasteurizing plant built with UNICEF money, and I worked at the milk plant. I was extremely lucky in where I was, the people I worked with, the kind of work that I did there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the Peace Corps are kind of lost, I think. They have a lot of liberal arts type people in the Peace Corps, English majors and things. And they put them out in some community and kind of tell them to find something to do, develop the community, something like that. And they just kind of sit around for 2 years. This happened to my daughter. She was in the Peace Corps in Guinea in West Africa. And they put her in a village. She was the only one there by herself. And she got malaria, among other things, had to come home early. But it kind of left her there and told her to find something to do. And that did not happen to me. I was very lucky in working with Mr. Wolf, Claude Wolf, who's the Heifer Project representative. He was a minister in the Church of the Brethren. He was also a basketball coach at a little college in Indiana. We had a basketball team in the Cochabamba City League. We were called Ag Extension Service. And we played basketball. I worked at the milk plant, and I was a milk tester. I knew about that because I grew up on a dairy farm. Once a month, the milk tester would come around, usually somebody from Clemson. It worked through Clemson. And so I knew about the kind of work I was going to do. I had a specific job. I had a Jeep that was my Jeep. I had a certain number of farms I had to visit every month. I would get up early in the morning and go to those farms and weigh every cow's milk. Take a milk sample of every cow's milk, and then there's a test we run in the lab of a percentage of butter fat in the milk. It was a record-keeping system. It was a way to find out which cows were making money for them and which ones were losing money. It's a complicated way of figuring out how much each cow is making above feed cost for that farmer. So they would know which cows to keep, which offspring to keep, which ones to cull, that kind of thing.
So did you enjoy that work?
Yes, because I knew what I was doing. Sam Tenbrink and I had a Jeep. I kept the Jeep at my house. Sam and I worked together. And he would go to a farm, and then I would go to a farm, and I would pick him up, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Usually the man would want me to stay and eat some breakfast, and I would politely try to get out of it if I could, but I'd often have to drink something. If it were usually hot, that was okay.
So is that pretty much the majority of what you did then?
The majority of what I did. I was a milk tester.
Mm-hmm. What about when you weren't working, what kinds of things did you do?
Okay, I played on a basketball team. Mr. Wolf organized us into a team, and we were in the city league. We played basketball. We also started playing softball with some of them. So we played softball. Now, we went to movies. There's no television in Bolivia at that time. There was no television, so movies were a thing. Movies were about 2 or 3 years old, so movies that I had missed a couple of years earlier were now coming around current in Bolivia. So I went to movies a lot. Mm-hmm. I read books from the English-speaking library. There was an English-speaking school in Cochabamba, and for 6 weeks or so I taught at that school while somebody was sick or something. But I remember I taught, I think it was geography and American history.
Well, that was kind of fun, I guess.
That was kind of fun, yeah.
Yeah. Great. What?
I also taught an English class for a while. Okay. Bolivians wanted to learn English, so I taught an English class, and I realized they were all speaking with a southern accent. Because they were trying to imitate me, and I was teaching them before with a southern accent.
Yes. Okay, so over the time that you were there, how did your life and your work change? Did you adapt pretty easily, or what?
Yes.
How did that go?
I remember at the end of our 2 years, we had a conference, and one of the questions that came up was, how did this experience change you? And my answer was, I had a new appreciation for agriculture. I learned that you could work with cows, work with people working with cows without getting all mad and frustrated, which was my case at home. I decided not to go back to the divinity school, but to get some kind of master's degree, and the idea was to go back to the farm where I grew up, and sort of take over the farm. But if I could have a master's degree, get in at one of the local colleges somewhere around there, and have a hand in the college community. I thought they always need English teachers, so I decided to go back in English.
Mm-hmm. Great. Let's talk about the end of the first year, midway through your experience. Do you remember any kind of special events or how you were feeling at that point in time?
About halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I kept looking forward to it all being over. I kept thinking, you know, 6 months to go, 4 months to go, things like that. But the closer it got to the end, the less I wanted to leave. I did not consider extending, though.
Mm-hmm. It was hard to leave it then, at the end.
I guess so.
Did you live with a family, like
yes.
Some of the other?
At first, Ed Dennison and I lived with a family out near Sacaba, way out in the country. That was not satisfactory. About 3 or 4 months after we had been there, we moved into town with a family where Ken Rustad and Larry Oglesby already were living. So 4 of us were living with this Bolivian family in downtown Cochabamba, right near the post office.
Did that work out better?
That worked out much better. It was closer to the Peel plant. It was also closer to the Peace Corps office and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Great. Did you have any health problems or anything like that?
Everybody had health problems, I guess. I had diarrhea some. I wasn't really bad sick, though.
How about, did you get to do any traveling?
Yes, during vacation times. I went to Ecuador, have an uncle in the Foreign Service in Quito. My parents came down, and we stayed for about 2 weeks in Quito. I went to Quito. Another time I went to Brazil. We were in Rio. We went one day to Brasilia. We were in Sao Paulo. That was about a week over there. I also traveled all around in Bolivia. I went to Sucre, Santa Cruz, Trinidad. I never went to Potosí, though. I sort of regret that. I never went to Potosí. I got there. Mm-hmm. Went to La Paz a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. So,
And Sucre, of course.
And Sucre. Mm-hmm.
So, and Aruro.
Carnival. Okay. So, overall, when you finished your tour there, you said you were not looking forward to leaving at the end, but you didn't extend.
Right.
Did you feel, how did you feel about what you had done there?
Well, we set up this meal testing program. There were two Bolivian boys who went with us, and we taught them how to do it. They were supposed to take it over from us once we finished, and they did. I don't think it continued. I think after we left, the farmers had to pay to be a part of the program. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how many of them kept it up. Mm-hmm. I think it ended soon after we left. Because the Bolivians who had it had to have Jeeps, and I don't know if the Peace Corps gave them out a Jeep or sold them to them or what. But I don't think it lasted. I don't know how much good we actually did in Bolivia. We had a big time. It was a good learning experience for us. But I'm not sure how much we actually helped Bolivians.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, how did that make you feel at the end?
Well, when I came home, I was kind of a celebrity. Everybody wanted me to come talk to book club and Sunday school classes, all those kind of things. I had lots of slides, so I was ready. And I pretty much developed a standard talk for the last about 45 minutes or so.
Uh-huh.
Showing the slides. I had a good experience, as I said. I learned a lot. I had a big adventure. It was a good time. I'm not sure how much good we actually did, though, in the long run.
It's hard to measure that kind of stuff.
It's hard to measure that, yeah.
Yeah. If you had it to do over again, would you do anything differently?
Oh, I don't know. I guess not. As I said, I was very lucky. In the place that I went, Cochabamba's of eternal springtime. Not too hot, not too cold. With who I worked with the Heifer Project, and especially Mr. Wolf, and with Luis Barone at the milk plant. He had been to Cornell. He knew about the states, and he knew about how to run a milk plant. The kind of work I did, I had something specific to do every day, which I could do. Mm-hmm. So I was very lucky in what I did.
Yeah. So, overall, how would you evaluate the service that you did in Peace Corps? You know, the goals they talk about, providing technical assistance and better understanding of the U.S., and then for Americans to better understand other countries.
Well, the last two, I think we did very good.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly helped me. I think we helped a lot of Bolivians understand about Americans. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much we taught Bolivians, though. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much we helped them.
Yeah.
But certainly they got to understand us. They learned about softball, for one thing. They learned some English. Some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
A good number of Bolivians came to the States because of us.
Mm-hmm.
Came to go to school, came to live, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But because of us, a good number of Bolivians came. A number of our group married Bolivians, as I remember.
Mm-hmm. Was there quite a lot of dating and things like that in Cochabamba when you were there?
We were invited to lots of parties. We had to go and eat with people a lot. A lot of the young men, males, boys our age, were away in the States, in Spain, in Lima, in Buenos Aires or someplace. That left a lot of girls who were our age who were just sort of there looking for somebody. So we got invited to lots of dances, a lot of parties, lots of suppers. Okay. Yeah.
That's great. Have you continued any kind of involvement with Bolivia over the years?
Not really. I've been back twice. I went in the summer of 66 with George Wright and his friends, and Mary Beth and I went in the summer, no, in 73, went in the summer. It was November, December by the time we got there.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been back since.
Okay.
I read about them in the paper, but I haven't really kept up that much.
So can we talk a little bit about how this changed your life? You mentioned some about that in the beginning. Are you doing different things than you would have done had you not gone into the Peace Corps?
I'm sure I am, but I don't know what.
You said you decided not to do divinity school.
Yeah. I got a master's degree in English, and they called me back to Walford, which was my undergraduate school. An old man there died. They needed an English teacher. So I was 3 years teaching English, freshman and sophomore English at Walford. I was not an English teacher. I found that out. I found out, though, I liked being in the college community. And if I was going to stay in it, I needed a PhD. So I went back to graduate school in history this time. Mm-hmm. Because a good friend of mine was doing Latin American history. And I was sitting in on that and being a kind of resource person. I lectured some about Bolivia and about Latin American geography. So I went to the University of Texas. I got a PhD in history. I say I went to Texas and got 2 degrees and a wife.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty significant change to go from divinity school to English and then history.
I've done a lot of things. I kind of fooled around probably too much.
But how do you think the Peace Corps experience affected you?
Oh, me. Uh-huh. A more international outlook, more tolerant of people who are not just like me. I don't know, there are all kind of ways that I can't think of or mention specifically.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any kind of specific things that happened that were really stick out in your mind while you were there?
Well, one thing that was kind of humiliating. There was a farm that I visited to take milk samples, weigh the cow's milk. It was across a river. And one night it rained and rained and rained. And I went out there in the dark, in the morning, and across the river, okay. I stayed at the man's place, ate breakfast with him. When I came back, started back, the river was up higher than I'd ever seen it. I got out and threw rocks in the river. I thought about all the Peace Corps training, about how they said, always try. So I started across the river, but there were 3 deep channels in the river. I got across 2 of them, and the 3rd one, the water was coming up over the hood of the Jeep, and the motor conked out, the car began floating down the river, turned over on its side. I got the milk samples, I got climbed out, I got on top of the thing, the turned over, people lined up all along the bank of the river to watch what I was going to do. Well, I finally got out. If I'd waited another hour or so, the water would have gone down. That's what I should have done. But very embarrassing. The wrecker had to come, pull the Jeep out, and it didn't cost all that much to get it fixed because it was all labor. They didn't have to replace any parts. But the Jeep was out of commission for a week or so when they cleaned it out and all of that. That was very embarrassing that I fell down the river in the Jeep.
Well, that's pretty, pretty
well, interesting. I saved the milk sample.
Well, that's good. Tell me, can you think of any other experiences that were especially memorable?
National Geographic photographer came down and wrote a story about us in Peace Corps in Bolivia, and it was in October of 64 issue, and Ed Dennison was his person. He followed Ed around. I lived with Ed, so I went around with him. He took thousands of pictures, and I was in maybe 900 of those pictures, but none of them got in the National Geographic. None of them with me in them. He had about 10 or 15 pictures in the National Geographic of us in Bolivia.
Wow.
I think it was October 64 was that issue, I think.
Yeah. So, and anything that was not funny or not pleasant that happened that you remember?
Just the routine work, which could be pretty frustrating at times. Had to always lock the Jeep. Things would get stolen out of the Jeep. Anything that left unattended would get stolen. Had several things stolen out of the Jeep. Once a man picked my pocket, tried to get my watch out of my pocket, but I grabbed it in time, got the watch back. All of that was
assassinated?
Yes. It was in the early afternoon. We were taking a siesta right after lunch. Ed Dennison came in and said, there's something on the radio about Kennedy being shot. We walked up, Larry Oglesby and I walked up to the, American consulate, and sure enough, the news was coming in there, and Kennedy had been shot. And everybody in Bolivia was just devastated. Flagged with half staff. We went to Mass on Sunday, which was a special Mass for Kennedy. I remember seeing a Bolivian woman, an Indian woman, a Chola, sitting on the floor nursing a baby during the Mass. That was all, yeah.
Why do you think it affected people so much in Bolivia?
Kennedy was extremely popular, partly because he was Catholic, partly because of the Alliance for Progress that was going on there. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was pretty impressive. What was traveling around Bolivia like? You said you had traveled around in Bolivia.
Okay. I remember when we went to Santa Cruz, a whole bunch of us, five or six of us, on a bus. The bus caught on fire. Bolivians all panicked and screamed and rushed for the door. And I noticed all the Peace Corps people sat calmly till everybody else piled off the bus, and we calmly got up and walked off the bus.
So what happened to the fire?
It got put out, they got the bus fixed, and we went on to Santa Cruz. But that incident I remember.
Yeah, well, that's, how about, is that typical of the bus trips?
Yeah. When I went to Ecuador, I flew from La Paz, and I rode the milk truck up to La Paz. Every night, a milk truck goes from the leche plant, milk plant, to La Paz. And I rode with them to get to La Paz. And that was over those very narrow roads, dust everywhere, cold. But it was a free trip to La Paz.
Well, that had to be an adventure in and of itself.
Yeah.
Did you ever get down to the tropical areas?
Yes. Once Bill Burnell and George Wright and I forgot how we went. It wasn't a bus. It was some car going into the Chapare, over the mountains into the east. We went as far as the road went. I've forgotten the name of the place, but we got on a boat. We were 3 days on the boat going down the river, which is a tributary of the Amazon, the Mamoré or something like that. all the way to Trinidad. And then we stayed in Trinidad a couple of days and flew home.
So it was, so what, how did you like the trip?
Oh yeah, that was part of the adventure.
Yeah, on those.
Yeah. In the eastern Bolivia, of just a generation or so ago, those people were head hunters and just lived real primitive there.
Mm-hmm. So, anything else that you can think of about your travels and tribulations around Bolivia?
We got to know a number of the Methodist missionaries there, especially around Santa Cruz. They were down that way. What was the name of the school at Montero?
I think it was the Methodist school.
I don't know, but anyway, we got to know some of those people. And that was good. We went back in 66 and went with George Wright. We stayed with some of them in Cochabamba and at Montero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. So do you have any last thoughts about the Peace Corps and its effect and what you think?
Well, it was a great experience for me. Well, look, it's almost 50 years later, we're still getting together. Numerous people have been by to stay with us, both in Austin, we were living in Austin, and in 96, and in Spartanburg. And then we've stayed with various ones all around over the country when we travel around.
Mm-hmm. So there was a certain amount of...
amount of camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody from the Peace Corps came down to evaluate us and said he liked our group. There was a kind of a spooky core about the Bolivia 2 group. He didn't find in other groups.
Why do you think that was?
Maybe because we'd had an extended training period. Remember in Puerto Rico, they extended us because we said we didn't know enough Spanish. Then we spent another week on the beach learning Spanish. Then we went to Vermont and all of that. It was November before we finally got to Bolivia. So it was a good experience.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you, Paul. I think that probably takes care of this.
Okay, good.
Thanks.